This is Wage World, where we talk to the most interesting people in the world on KABF 88.3, the voice of the people.
You want to see how the other half lives? We'll see how we get around. Why don't you come visit me?
This is Wade Brathke, and you're listening to Wade's World, the Voice of the People program. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, Greenville, or New Orleans. We're on Acorn Radio in Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points north and south, east and west, where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at www.kbf.org and www.acornradio.org. Podcasts will be available to the show on these websites and affiliatedmediamovement.org. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today we're talking to David Couch, a well-known local lawyer based in Little Rock and the spark plug behind Arkansans for a Fair Wage. David, welcome to Wade's World.
Good morning and thank you for having me.
Arkansas for a Fair Wage. For those people who are hiding under a rock and don't know what's happening, what do we have going on, David?
Well, we, a few months ago, decided that we needed to try to do another initiative like we did in 2014 to increase the minimum wage. It's $8.50 an hour in Arkansas now. And, you know, people who work minimum wage jobs, full-time jobs, you know, they can't afford to feed their kids, they can't afford their housing on that amount of money. So, you know, businesses are not going to do it themselves. So, you know, like we did in 2014, we are going to take it to the people and let the people vote themselves a raise.
And what would the levels rise to, David?
It takes it up in three steps. It goes from $8.50 to $9.25. Then it goes to $10, and then it goes up to $11 in 2021. So basically in 2 years, it's up to $11 an hour.
So this is a petition drive, and we've all been there before, so you have a certain amount of time and usually a pretty tall mountain to climb in terms of getting the signature. So Where do we stand so that everybody understands what to do here?
We're in a good spot right now. I mean, we got a late start. As you know, the Attorney General refused to write a ballot title for the initiative measure. We sued in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ordered to do it. But we were here, and we were ready, and so there are canvassers that we've hired, and they're located throughout the state of Arkansas. We need 68,000 signatures from valid registered voters to get it on the ballot. We need 68,000 facially valid signatures by July the 6th to turn into the Secretary of State. If we turn those in, obviously, they won't all be registered, but you get a cure period, so you can continue to collect for the period of time that the Secretary of State is counting the ballots, and then you get an additional 30 days. So we're well into the 20,000s already. I get reports almost every night. So I feel very confident that we'll meet our goal and be able to turn in on the 6th of July.
At least the 68,000.
Yeah, and then we'll have 45 days to do that, and 75% of the 68,000 have to be valid signatures, so we'll hit that mark. So we should collect about 110,000 gross signatures, which is about 75,000 valid, because that's you get about 75% of people who actually sign the petition or register voters.
Yeah, no, we spent a lot of time on the math here. 2 to 1, what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. So. Paid canvassers all around the state. So how are you? You're looking at major events, fairs, shopping centers. Where would people go if they're in somewhere in BB or wherever to try to find a way they can sign?
You know, out in the counties like BB and White County, I mean, you probably have to go somewhere in town to Searcy. You know, Arkansas is kind of a difficult state to collect signatures on petitions. We're not like California or Colorado or states who have decided that private parking lots are really kind of semi-public, and they require the landowners to give people access during limited period of time. So we're just locked up. I mean, even in Arkansas, like if the Department of Finance is located in a private shopping center, you can't do that. So we hit public venues, public sidewalks, all the festivals, all the games, courthouses, voter registration places, and you know, there are some DFNA locations that are on public property, so you can get to do that. Libraries, farmers markets, that's big this time of the year. We have about 125 people here now actually collecting signatures.
Well, that's a good number. I mean, I know you'd never been an Acorn organizer if you hadn't been chased off a Walmart parking lot somewhere in the United States. So that was, you know, that was one of the badges. Because sometimes you'd do well and sometimes you wouldn't. Now, yeah. Are there any... July 6th is tomorrow, isn't it? So there are no special elections coming up anywhere in the state in that period. Because that used to be, we'd love that in petition signing because you knew everybody was registered. They were showing up to vote. So then you were like 99.9% accurate. So if we could find an election, we were there like white on rice.
Yeah.
But no such luck there, huh?
No, we that's one of the reasons we tried earlier to get it approved by the Attorney General because we wanted to work the primary.
Sure.
We didn't quite get that done, but they're not going to beat us. We'll get this on the ballot. You know.
So do you have, 125 canvassers you are?
Yeah, there are about 125 right now in Arkansas. You know, and again, over the years, the General Assembly has made it a little bit more difficult for people to be canvassers. They made distinctions between paid and volunteer. If you're a paid canvasser, you have to have a criminal background check. You have to go through training. So, you know, even when someone comes to Arkansas to show up to canvass, you know, it takes us 24 to 48 hours
sure.
to get them cleared.
Sure. And there's some rules about how you pay them and whatever. So I'm sure you're obviously a law degree is worth something still, I guess. I'm sure you're top of that, David. Well, let's just hope so, because what we found, obviously, in 50 states or however many we different, 38 states we ran, probably.
If issue one passes, the law degree might not be worth anything at all.
Well, that's another problem. We'll talk about that later. But so to all of a sudden put together people as fast, you must have had to find an experienced contractor to help do this.
Sure. You know, I started doing this a lot in Arkansas in 2012.
Sure.
And there's a company that I work with a lot, and they have come here, and they're real good folks. And we've worked here in Arkansas together for so long that they know the rules. They know we've developed relationship with people that have private locations, like, you know, convenience stores.
Sure,
or certain
sure.
local businesses that welcome this or want this. And so, you know, it's not like we're strangers, so there are a lot of places that we can work as well.
Good. And this group has some people who've been in Arkansas before, or they still have some management, at least. Canvassers come and go sometimes.
Sure. You know, most of the canvassers are really independent contractors, and they're probably of the 100. There are maybe 10 or 15 that are probably residents of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. They're, I tell everybody, like carnival people. They go from place to place, and sometimes they sleep in their cars, they sleep in hotels, but they just love that. They have a passion about this process.
Well, and many of them have been involved in countless initiative campaigns. I mean, there's some groups that specialize in this. I mean, in California and Oregon and places in the West Coast, it's a full-time job for some. That carnival is very close to the Pacific.
It is, and there are a lot of the canvassers here. You know, there are some dead times in California right now, and so they drive or fly to Arkansas. So we have a big chunk of people that are primarily based in California or Colorado or Florida.
Well, I'm sure somebody is going to ask this. Maybe it's been reported already, but I know very well it's an expensive process to run an initiative campaign. So have you had good support getting the resources to, I mean, it takes resources to run these efforts.
Absolutely. You know, it's going to cost us around $500,000
sure.
to collect the signatures in the campaign, and we'll file our campaign finance report on the 15th of next month. But there are some good national organizations that have decided that Arkansas is, despite its appearance as a red state, really has a libertarian progressive bent to its people, especially on some social issues. And so you know, they're willing to help fund campaigns like this.
Well, I know labor usually is a big supporter. I don't know if they've stood up yet on this one, but I know on other minimum wage efforts we've done in the past, they were a key supporter.
Yeah, in 2014, labor actually funded that entire issue.
Well, God love them for that, huh? Absolutely. A lot of people have big thanks to the AFL-CIO for the last 4 years anyway, or people still be making, six and a quarter.
Labor's been really helpful to this, but, at this point in time, I've not had to ask any of the labor organizations to actually fund. They've been giving us moral support and any kind of support we want, but fortunately, we've not had to ask them for money yet.
So I'm sure I'd be, are there specific nonprofit organizations you're comfortable with naming? I mean,
I shouldn't name them yet, but on the 15th of next month, when we have to file our report, everybody will send. But they're nationally recognized organizations that wage or social issues is their mission.
Okay.
They're C4s.
Well. Yeah, well, C4, C3, C4 is an irrelevant classification in my view. But we're talking to David Couch, who's a well-known local lawyer, usually on the progressive side of issues, and he's part of the spark plug behind Arkansans for a Fair Wage. Who else you got involved helping you on this? Anybody we'd know?
Absolutely. Downstairs, Neil Seeley.
Okay. Well, Neil, of course, ACO and ACORN is going to be
happy. Donna Massey's on our board.
Uh-huh.
Kathy Webb, Rich Huddleston, the head of the food bank in Northwest Arkansas Mountain Home, Jeff Quick. Have two AFSCME members from the University of Arkansas on the board. And I'm probably going to leave somebody out to write a decision.
Well, there's always
it's
more
the usual
people.
Usual suspects.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So are there a way, if people wanted to help out on this, is there a way for them to get petitions now that they could fill out with registered voters and help on this? Or?
Sure. If someone wants to if you have experience as a canvasser and you want to be a paid canvasser, I can hook you up with the company that we do, and you actually make money collecting signatures on the petition. Or if you want to volunteer, you can just call me and I can print off some petitions. The petitions are formatted a little different between volunteers and paid canvassers because of the rules that the General Assembly imposed on paid canvassers.
In their wisdom.
Their infinite wisdom.
That's right. Well, yeah. We want to make sure people know that. But there's always room for more volunteers when you have to collect 100-something thousand signatures.
Absolutely.
So if somebody's only turning in, a dozen signatures on a sheet, those are often very welcome if they're coming at the right time when you're getting ready to turn them in and after the holidays.
Absolutely. Up in Northwest Arkansas, there was an election decided by one vote, and one signature may make the difference in this case. So, absolutely.
You never know. So we should make sure we have a couple of petitions down here at the station for anybody who wants to come by KABF on South Main and pick up petitions, either at ACO's offices downstairs, or if they can make it up the ladder, they're welcome to get them from KABF, because this is you never know how these elections turn out, but this is a citizen's opportunity we have in Arkansas and about 20 other states in the country that we still have the ability to initiate a petition, make it law, whether the legislature says yay or nay, and that's sort of become a radical thing in America these days.
It's just pure democracy. I mean, if people say, what can we put on the ballot? It's pretty much anything you want to come up with in the state of Arkansas. We are fortunate that despite the laws that the General Assembly has enacted in the last 6 or 7 years, we still have a very user-friendly initiative and referendum process.
Well, you always have to cross your fingers and hope that stays that way. I mean, it's under attack in many states, as you know, David.
Sure.
So let's talk about the opposition. Clearly, you had some problems actually getting this down a path to the point you could put petitions out there. Who's going to line up to fight? Who fought you in 2014? Who's going to fight you again?
Well, I suspect that the only person that I know that's really said anything about this particular measure has been, of course, the Chamber of Commerce. They think it's going to be horrible to give people a raise. It's going to put businesses out of business. And then it's just simply not true. It's just they're trying to protect their profits is what they're really trying to do.
Well, there's a lot of studies, and we can get into that. So it's Chamber of Commerce, but Restaurant Association, are they a big player in this, or Independent Business Federation? Often they're help lead some of the opposition on these campaigns.
I'm certain if we get it on the ballot, they probably will take a role in that, but, you know, they've been silent so far. You know, in 2014, when we got it on the ballot, it took it from 6 to 6.25, I think, to 8.5. And as soon as it was approved and as soon as it became clear that we had the number of signatures that we needed, I remember the first person that spoke out in favor of it was Tom Cotton, so that was kind of strange. But so we'll see where our elected officials line up on this. It's a little bit bigger step this time around.
Well, I mean, they may be quiet before a storm, as we know. They may just be hoping that they don't have to fire it up, but I'd almost bet money they're raising money to be prepared on the campaign.
Sure.
And as you indicated, the loss of jobs tends to be the key issue, but there's been a lot of studies on the impact of minimum wage. This is not a new thing.
I know we did
a number of these campaigns in different states, and so we've had, you know, there are whole think tanks that have done work on whether there's an impact, and it turns out to be just very marginal in terms of...
I agree. And I think the economic benefits of the increase in the wage outweigh what marginal decreases there may be in some sort of employment. I mean, you know, I grew up in a little town called Newport, Arkansas, you know, and if so, if the small businesses in Newport give a raise, the people are just going to spend their money, and so it's going to circulate through the economy.
Well, it's well established that lower income working families spend more money within 5 miles of their house than anybody else. They're not buying a new jet or, you know, getting a yacht, you know.
And they're not going to put it in the bank like they do with these tax credits. And
well, if they, you know, if they pay the bank fees anymore, I mean,
it's
hard to tell. I mean, these prepaid credit cards and the number of different instruments, but it makes a difference. I mean, even a dollar up on minimum wage, if you're working full time, which is 2,080 hours, that's almost a $2,100 increase. And tell me that doesn't make a difference to a family of one, four, or three, however many.
Absolutely. You know, and Arkansas, we're at the top of food insecurity. And so, you know, to me, looking at this from just a human rights issue, I mean, if you can buy an extra sandwich or a box of cereal or a gallon of milk or whatever it takes, you know, that's the difference between a kid going to bed hungry or going to school hungry every day. And I'm sorry, that's worth whatever it takes to get it on the ballot and get it done.
Well, and you would think, let's talk about Walmart. Now, Walmart's got a pretty big footprint here in the state, and I'm sort of an expert on Walmart. I ran a long campaign and still are, you know, in dealing with them in India and whatnot about some of their global expansion imperialism. But they've had to step up over recent years in terms of the wage.
Well,
is that going to make a difference?
It does make a difference, and honestly, Walmart might not want to accept credit for this, but Walmart,
oh, well, hell, let's give them some credit.
Let's do it. Walmart is exactly the reason that we decided to raise the wage in Arkansas. You know, at the time, these organizations that I was working with, we were working on the redistricting proposal,
sure,
trying to deal with the gerrymandering, and we were having, again, a hard time getting it through the Attorney General. And about, 6 weeks ago, Walmart announced that they were going to raise their starting employees to $11 an hour across the board. And so we were on a conference call with regard to the redistricting, and I just threw it out there like, hey, Walmart's well respected in Arkansas. It's their home. They're going to raise to $11. What do y'all think if we do this? And that's exactly how this initiative began, with a conversation like that.
So in some of our material, we can call this the Walmart wage increase proposal.
It's good enough for Walmart.
It's good enough for us.
It's good enough for us, exactly.
You know, I still would have trouble not stuttering a couple of times as I say that, David. But
that's true. Let's
give the devil its due, because they've been pushed and shoved, and they've come to understand. Now, unfortunately, you go into a Walmart now, and you see this big, you know, two-story thing, which is
right,
where you come pick up deliveries if you do it on the interweb, and they clearly are going to be more and more automated, so it's a reality. And when we ran a campaign for years around focusing particularly on the I-4 corridor between Orlando and the Tampa-St. Pete area,
right,
they would claim their wages were one thing, and there, because of unemployment statistics, we could actually determine there were only two employers with over X amount of employees in Florida. Yeah. So it was either public store, supermarkets, yeah, or Walmart. So it was fairly easy, no matter how anonymous the data is, to say, this is the Walmart number. And of course, while they were claiming the average wage at that point was 9 1/4, we could figure out it was $8.50. So, I mean, you never know what they're really paying. So even when they say $11, if it were me, and this is probably too much of my labor, I'd want to see a lot of those pay stubs to make sure it's $11 and make sure that there are sort of computers in Bentonville weren't shorting people a couple of hours to get to that 11. That's right. But they're saying the right thing. They're doing the right thing. Yeah. And as big as they are in Arkansas, and as tight as the employment situation is, it's going to be hard not to have people compete regardless of this initiative. Sure. We're almost trailing too far behind. By 3 years from now, 2021, you may be talking to people about doing another petition, because they may already be at 1150 or 12, and we'd be, you know, bottom fishing.
That's the good thing about the initiative referendum. We did it in 2014. So people are like, why are we doing it again? Because we're behind again. You know?
So the more we're talking, David, it's clear to me we're doing this for Walmart, and we're much on the conservative side of this issue. We're sort of lowballing it and trying to help Walmart, compete for more labor.
Exactly.
Now, I don't know how to explain that to my mother, but boy, this is something we can really, we can redesign this whole campaign. We're talking to David Couch, who's a lawyer often reported for being on the right side of issues and standing up for various groups that have problems getting good representation. I know we've leaned on David before in some quixotic fights we were involved in, and he's the spark plug behind the Arkansans for Fair Wage, and we're talking about how to get the minimum wage in Arkansas up to $11. Tell me who's against that. David, let's talk about some of the other monuments you've got to get through here. So the opposition hasn't really folded in. We've got a lot of signatures to get. 100,000 is still big. The job argument is going to be one you hear, but we're in a situation on employment right now that it's going to be harder for that argument to get traction, isn't it? I mean, people are having trouble finding workers.
Absolutely. You know, and if Trump continues to build his wall, we're going to have more and more problems finding workers because of all the migrants that come here to do a lot of jobs in Arkansas.
We have one of the only governors in the United States who wants children prisons.
That's right.
In the state.
I think, didn't Bill Clinton want Cubans in Fort Chaffee or something?
He got
them. In the 80s, and he got them, and Frank White became the governor, too.
Well, and, you know, we don't want to get off the subject, God knows, because I want to be, you know, laser focused on this, but to understand that they looked at a USDA facility in Kelso, Arkansas, 2 miles away from Rohrer, which is where the Japanese American concentration camp was, one of the stains on America, one of many,
but
certainly in the 20th century, one of the major stains on the reputation of America. Nobody's that stupid. Nobody's that stupid.
Somebody was.
Yeah, they even have them routed through there. That's part of my commute when I come up from New Orleans to Little Rock every month on the station's business. And I've been by the facilities there. You don't want to be there.
No,
and you don't want children there. You don't want anything, you know. Dogs aren't happy down there. I mean, But yeah, there's jobs. They're going to have, I mean, I know for our labor union, we're in one of the first situations I can remember in the last 35 years where we have, in many of our nursing home facilities, employers calling us, David, saying, we know we got to talk to you, but we need to raise the wages to start at 10, start at 10.50, because we can't hire certified nurses' aides.
You know, that's my real job. That's what I do, is I represent families that are neglected in nursing homes. This is my ballot question work. It's all my, it's all been pro bono. It's my fun thing to do. And I was going to mention that earlier, is that, you know, in that litigation, you see what CNAs make in long-term care facilities, and not many of them make $11 an hour. And, you know, and you're right, the long-term care industry, the turnover and the turnover rate of CNAs that they find acceptable is like 150% a year. I mean, that's people that are taking care of your mom and your dad and your loved ones. And so you know, if we can raise that range, maybe you get a little bit better quality person to take that job. They don't want to be the low end of the wage scale should not be who takes care of your mom.
Furthermore, and now we're really in the weeds, I mean, reimbursement rates federally are based on honoring increases in minimum wage. So
sure.
It doesn't even affect the nursing home operator. It's exactly. It's a pass-through, and they actually make more money on workers making more money. Yeah, so
Medicaid is, in Arkansas, it's cost-based.
Well, and that's the way it should be, no matter what some of our friends sure. in Washington and the state legislatures think. I mean, these are important parts of the program, but
they are.
You can't recruit workers for low wages. And no matter what they say and how they beg or whatever, I mean, the irony of how this immigration crisis is right along the lines of this minimum wage fight is we have a lot of businesses, they don't mind letting workers in, they're just not sure about the families. I mean, they're desperate for migrant workers. They'll work them on or off the books just to get somebody, you know, chicken plucking or, you know, doing whatever else in Arkansas.
Catching turkeys in MENA.
Well, I mean, we could name a lot of places throughout the South, and that's part of the contradiction here and has been for a long time. So have you done polling on this? You must have.
We have done polling on this as well, and we... You know, in 2014, it passed with about 65% of the vote. And if you look at the polls right now, we're hitting about 65% of the vote.
Okay.
So the support for minimum wage has remained steady, you know, regardless of the number, really.
That's interesting. I mean, we used to have to gauge the number based on, in some cases, the polling. When we first started, we were $3 ahead of minimum wage, and we got our ass whipped in Houston and in Denver, and then, okay, maybe we better, like, you know, dial it down a little bit, and we'd find that number where we had 60-65%, and that became the number we'd campaign on. But
that's why we have good thank Walmart again.
Yeah, you know, well, the wage world today is being underwritten by Walmart, and you know, we're definitely
smiley spines on my campaign.
We're definitely anything to help Walmart. What's good for Walmart is good for Arkansas. That's the David Couch, Wade Rathke motto today. Let's go back again to how people can get petitions, because we're going to have a lot of people after this show who are going to say, hey, I really want to pass it around my block or whatever. They don't want to, they don't have the time to all of a sudden be professionals at it, but they're going to want to get their 10 or 15 signature. Let's give them some addresses so they can pick it up.
I will print off a bunch of petitions and bring them downstairs to ACO.
That's South Main, 2101 South Main is where you find ACO and KABF. You can get petitions at both of those places within the next, certainly by Monday.
Absolutely by Monday.
And how can they get them from you or the campaign? Is there an address for the campaign we can get people?
My office is 1501 North University, Suite 228. It's the Prospect Building.
Okay.
And I will make sure that the receptionist has a stack of petitions. And if somebody actually wants to do this to raise some money for themselves, then they can call me, and I can get them hooked up with the canvassing company.
That's fantastic. Now, is there a way that they can go to a website and download a petition and then mail it to you?
Now, you know, the petitions.
Is that not legal?
What?
Did I just break the law? Here I'm representing Walmart and breaking the law. Same show. Now I'm happier.
There you go. No, it's totally legal to do it, but in the General Assembly's wisdom, the petitions have to be formatted and printed in a certain way. And it's just almost impossible to get that done.
Okay, so you'd be trying to do it, and you might mess up, and you'd be turning in your good signatures, and the Secretary of State would be throwing them in a bad pile. What else can people do to help? I know you said you had good funding, but if we've got some people who say, dog, I really want to put a couple of dollars through 100 here this way, I want to see this thing win, how do they get some contributions to you?
They can make a check payable to Arkansans for a Fair Wage, and I will bother Neil downstairs again. They can drop it off at him, or they can drop it off at my office.
You heard it. This is going to be a headquarters for fighting for a minimum wage increase. David, remind people again what numbers we're talking about, because they probably didn't believe us early in the show. Now that we've told them we're endorsed by Walmart and everybody else.
Well, currently we're at $8.50, and then January of 2019 it goes to $9.25, January of 2020, it goes to 10. January of 2021, it goes to $11 an hour.
We're talking about $11 an hour, friends and neighbors. If we get off the couch, get out there, help get the signatures, find some petitioner, either paid or volunteer, who will take your John Henry. Make sure you're registered to vote. I know you get enthusiastic sometimes and forget about registering. You need to do that. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard. And as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, when we have Andrew Wang, who's written a book about universal basic income. We're on a theme here. He's our guest. This is Wade Rathke from Wade's World.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.